Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rare is Fundamental podcast, episode 61. And I'm trying not to distract you from anything at all. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Rare is Fundamental podcast, episode 61, being recorded on October 29, 2016, brought to you by Rare.net and being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. My name is Ray Moraldi, also known as Rare. I'm back. It's been a while. A lot of personal things going on, but you know what else is back? The NBA season, and that's what we're here for. We're going to talk NBA season preview with the greatest storyteller in the world, Adam Jacoby, as well as our guest, Basketball Insider's Oliver Moroney. And if you've never heard this podcast before, yes, I'm an NBA online writer, so you're going to hear a lot of NBA talk, but we'll also talk other sports, wrestling, anime, video games, whatever I want, because it's life. And I like talking about the fundamentals of life, which makes this podcast so fundamental. And before I go on, let me remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Stitcher and also on Rare.net. Follow the podcast Twitter on Rare is Fun. And my personal podcast, The No Look Pass. So don't forget to do all of that. I probably forgot something. I don't know, but whatever. Let's just go on with it. Let's talk NBA season with Oliver Moroney. Scratch. Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 61. It's been a while. This is Ray, along with the greatest storyteller of all time, Adam Jacoby. What's up?
Not much, man. I think It's Been a While is a Nickelback song. So we're proud.
I wouldn't know.
we're proud to announce that this podcast is now sponsored by Nickelback.
Great! Awesome! Fantastic! I'll just move on from that. Our guest for this podcast does work for Basketball Insiders. Also does a podcast for called KO Sports Show. Oliver Moroney, what is up, man?
How's it going, guys? I'm happy to be a part of this here. I don't know if the Nickelback, I don't know if I can deal with that for the rest of the podcast, but...
Hey, please... Please do not badmouth the sponsors in the middle of the podcast.
Okay, fine. I won't say anything more about Nickelback. Oliver, I actually hardly know you. That's how it is anyway in a podcast. Like, we get to talk to our guest. It's like, it's our first time talking to him. So, tell us all about yourself, man. How you got to be in this crazy world of basketball blogging / writing / media.
Yeah, I mean, I've loved and enjoyed watching NBA basketball since I was a little kid. My parents, my grandparents grew up as big Trailblazer fans, and so I kind of naturally moved towards basketball as kind of my watching influence, I guess you could say, and enjoyed what I did. And so I, you know, started working actually when I was in late middle school and early high school. I started working at the Oregonian doing high school sports. I thought I was a pretty big deal back then, you know, making about $10 a game, doing like the little stat, basically literally box scores. That is what my job was. I checked boxed every point, every rebound, every steal, and yeah, that's pretty much how I started this whole basketball writing deal. My name was in the paper in the little bottom right hand corner of like the very, very, very back page that nobody would read, but hey, I clipped it out. I thought I was a big deal at the time. And so, yeah, I started there. I moved on and started doing just a bunch of blogging, to be honest. I started my own blog, moved on from there to, like, Hoops Critic and Today's Fast Break and, like, a bunch of other smaller kind of NBA sites. And then I've been friends with Alex for a while, and he reached out, you know, probably four and a half, five months ago, and was like, hey, man, you know, we're potentially looking for someone to fill a void. Would you be interested? And kind of talk more about it. And now I'm here.
Alex Kennedy, who was also a guest on this show, I think last year, I believe. So, yeah, you see, at least you got paid for doing box scores. Like, I did box scores for like basketball games just for the hell of it. And of course, I got paid nothing. You know, I just did it for my, on my own, so I guess I'm stupid, right?
Well, I don't think I was making enough to really warrant saying that I was making any money doing it. It was probably the cost of the ticket to get into the high school basketball game, so I'm not sure. you do it for the love of the game, right? In quotes.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but high school, man, $10 is a lot of money for a high school.
I know.
Yeah,
right.
When I was in high school, I did some of that. It wasn't for a publication, but it was just for the team. They didn't pay me anything. Like, I got to go to the games for free. That's about it. I didn't know that there could be money exchanged.
Yeah, I didn't know it was possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And here we are, just like, you know, making money doing this, I suppose, right? So, before we actually move on to the NBA, since we've been away for about a month and a half or so, I just want to acknowledge Adam really quick, because he's a Cubbies fan for as long as I can remember, and his team is in the World Series, man. So, congrats, dude.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a long time coming, and I've been a Cubs fan for as long as I can remember, too. Well, I mean, I was going to Iowa Cubs games with my dad by the time I was 5 years old, and that was a long time ago. So this was sort of one of the things that you sort of had to understand as a Cubs fan was, okay, you know, they're probably going to be bad. They're probably going to be a few good years, but they're never going to make it to the World Series. And you just have to, you know, it's not an accident that it's been 70 plus years. So it was ingrained into us, and then Theo happened, and Sparkle Jesus himself, Chris Bryant, happened, and a lot of good things happened. And so it's been a whirlwind. So the highest highs, the deepest worries, everything in between. And yeah, they're down 2-1 right now, but they're favored in this one to even it up, and The nice thing is, even 30 years later, I'm still watching Cubs games with my dad, and we've been watching the World Series together, so it's a cool and great thing, I think.
So game four tonight, by the time this podcast comes out, game four will be over, right?
Yes.
So, question, do you want the Cubs to go down 3-1 because of this whole entire Warriors-Cavs joke going on? Oh, they blew a 3-1 lead. Do you want this to happen?
As much as I appreciate the meme, I think putting a Cleveland team in that position, like all LeBron has to do is just show up in their dugout, and then all of a sudden they're not going to blow the 3-1 lead anymore. So it's like, oh, that's tactically wrong. So I want the Cubs to just win every game from here on out. I cannot handle the brink of disaster, not even for the memes. You know, Cleveland has its own, the Cleveland baseball team, whose name I won't say here, they have their own, you know, loser jokes to begin with.
Right.
So they don't need another. I don't need another. All I need is for the Cubs to finally take one home, for history to let go.
Yeah, Cleveland's title town, man. It's so weird. It's 2016, right? So we have the Cavs and then the Major League Baseball team on the brink. And the Browns can win a game and they're a title town, right? So, I'm not even sure if Browns count as a professional football team anyway. So, let's talk NBA. That's what we brought all over here for.
If you don't mind, Adam.
No, go ahead.
So, I know about 4 Cubs fans, like legitimate Cubs fans. People that, like, you know, they didn't just jump on the bandwagon right before this season started when they were predicted to go pretty far. But being in the World Series, what is your takeaway? Like, what are you doing on game day? And then secondly, like, what is your feeling around these games? Like, does it really matter if they win at this point? Like, it's already gravy, or do you really need this? Like, is this...
Well, it would be awesome. The sense is that this isn't going to be the Cubs' only shot. But when the Phillies won with young Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins still in his prime, Utley in his prime, the thought was, you know, this was the first of many for them, and then they never went back. So the window is always smaller than you think, and that is even with a smart president like Theo Epstein. You know, it's just not guaranteed that they're ever going to be back in this scenario. I mean, even the '90s Braves, the ones who, you know, punched their ticket to the postseason
every single year for however many years straight, they won one World Series, just one. So it's not a given that they're ever going to be back here for as long as I live. You know, this is,
right.
So it would really, really be nice, and we know they're good enough to win. At the same time, the baseball playoffs are such a crapshoot. It's a sport where if you win 60% of your games, you had a great season. And if you lose 60% of your games, you had an awful season. Like, imagine that if basketball were that way, where if you go 48-34, people are like, whoa, damn, dude. That, like, congratulations on winning the division. And then think, like, what kind of utter chaos the playoffs would be at that point.
Yeah.
So, right. It's a scenario where you have to be good enough to get in, then you have to get lucky. Like, the only reason anybody ever wins a World Series is because somebody has to. It's the fact that they have seven-game series sort of winnows out the luck aspect of it a bit, but only a bit. And it's rare that the single best team in the regular season goes on to win the World Series. It's just that it's just a crapshoot, and you have to get lucky. This is something we've been waiting for a long, long time. So that's the scenario I'm in. In terms of the game day stuff, I'm not really a superstitionalist. That's a word.
That's a big word.
that's totally a word now. So I don't, especially because most of the games happen during the week. And so my game day ritual is, well, I got to go to work.
Yeah.
8 to 5. But then after that, you know, I watch with my dad, and
gotcha.
And that's good enough for me. But whoo, the fans in Chicago,
that's crazy.
Who are showing up and paying $200 to go to a bar, and they're there at like sunrise.
That's craziness.
Go Cubs.
Yeah. Did you guys?
That's for. Oh, it's not for me. Go Cubs.
Did you guys hear about the... I'm sorry, we're probably getting off track. But
fine.
What's a trap?
Yeah. I just said, yeah. I heard that there was bars that were... Or there was a bar that people were getting in there, you know, like Sunrise, like you said, or close to that. And then every hour closer to game time, essentially, they ring a bell. And people just drink on it and just continue. Like, I've never heard of such a thing, and I know it's been a really long time, but I've got to assume that this Chicago atmosphere is unlike anything we've ever seen in any sporting event, I think.
Yeah, there is a significant possibility that if the Cubs close this out, it's probably good for the fabric of society that this game, that the series is going back to Cleveland one way or the other. Because if the Cubs had closed it out in Chicago, the universe would have ripped in two. Ground zero, the north side of Chicago. But it's still going to be madness. And the way everybody's been talking about it over the course of the weekend, I mean, my God, it was Friday afternoon, technically a work day. And the people that were in Chicago were saying, this is an atmosphere that you can't describe. Even though the Cubs are down 2-1, doing this on a Saturday night now, I can't even imagine what's going on over there.
Yeah.
What the atmosphere is like. I've been in Iowa City when the Hawkeyes were hosting the number one team in a night game. That was cool, but like that's like a mild shock compared to an electric chair. In Chicago, like there's nothing that's gonna be like that. I can't even imagine.
My question though is that what's gonna happen to the winning city? Because obviously Chicago, they haven't had a Cubs World Series in 100+ years, and then there's Cleveland, who the Cavs won last summer, and now the Major League Baseball's on the brink. Like, what's gonna be left of that city? Whoever wins.
I don't think the Cavs have an NBA season. If the Indians win, like, I just think they just pack it in, like, just, all right, we'll take the losses and just chalk them up.
Or do they win by default because they're defending champions? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, you speak of championship windows, Adam. I mean, yeah, basketball's a bit more predictable. Probably the most predictable of all sports, really, when it comes to championship winners and stuff like that. But
I would agree. I would agree.
Yeah. But the windows are small, too. Like, mm-hmm. Look at the Thunder, right?
Yeah.
Like, they only went to one finals, you know? So, you just never know when that window just shuts, right? So,
Yeah, and you make personnel decisions that you think prolong that. I mean, the Harden trade is going to go down in infamy. Mm-hmm. But to Sam Presti, it probably sure seemed like the move you had to make to keep that window open as long as possible. It's just that Jeremy Lamb is not good. And that right. turned out to be a problem.
Yeah.
But and what's crazy is the nature of contracts in the NBA, the top talent ends up getting contracts for longer than they're at peak level that they're going to be able to be a big time producer for a championship run. I mean, look at how much money Paul Pierce has made since the last time the Celtics made an NBA Finals. How much Kevin Garnett made? How much Kobe Bryant made? My goodness!
Right.
And the only thing stopping LeBron from being on that list is the fact that he's signing short deals over and over and over, and he still hasn't stopped going to the finals every year. But it's going to be interesting to see if he falls into that situation too, and then what that means for the Cavs in, let's say, 2019, 2020, 2021, thereabouts, or what his situation is at that point. So, once your window's closed, good luck. Even Dirk Nowitzki, the Mavs haven't been back. They haven't even been close. Their window has been decidedly closed. But he's, even with taking pay breaks, he's made about $60 million since the last time the Mavs were in the finals, since they made the finals. So, yeah. But you don't, it makes sense. Like, you don't, if you're Mark Cuban, you don't say, well, off you go, Dirk. That would be a disastrous decision. But you just sort of have to deal with the aftermath of putting yourself, of like opening that window in the first place. And that means, well, now it's closed and it's going to stay closed for a good long time. That's just the way it is.
This is Alex Kennedy from Basketball Insiders, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how you remind me. This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am.
This is Lana Berry from The Lana Berry Show with Lana Berry, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, and Adam Jacoby is a terrible person.
Right now, the Cavs and the Warriors are the favorites, obviously. Mm-hmm. Although I don't want to say anything premature, because I was super premature on the Warriors the entire season last year, as you know, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have the Spurs, still have the Clippers, maybe the Raptors, maybe the Celtics. Anyway, so it's been 4 days since the season started. Oliver, what have you liked so far this season? Which has given you a pleasant surprise?
Not a pleasant surprise. I kind of already felt like he was going to be good, but Joel Embiid has been just incredible to watch. I'm serious. I mean, look, trust the process. I've been impressed with how he's played and how he's matured and gotten better. And obviously he's been injured for 2 years, so we really haven't gotten to see him in full stride. But And he's still not there yet. I mean, he's only 20 minutes a night, I think, is what he's on right now. So they're still limiting his minutes, but he's looked very impressive. The other team that I've found myself kind of gravitating towards just because I think they've kind of gone under the radar is the Raptors. They've looked pretty good in the two games they've played. Now, whether they can really compete with Cleveland in a seven-game series, that's yet to be determined. But I think that, you know, when you're looking at this Raptors team, they've definitely impressed some people. They blew the doors off the Pistons, and then they also looked pretty surprising against the Cleveland Cavaliers and just wouldn't go away. And, you know, had it not been for a lack of discipline, I guess, on defense in those last couple of possessions yesterday, Toronto may be looking at a different outcome of that game. And I know LeBron seemed to be verbally very worried, and it looked like he was fearful of them losing that game. Now, it's just one game. You can make all the excuses you want, but I think the Raptors have been a pleasant surprise in the NBA as well. The Warriors, on the other hand, have been the team that I have been just, I'm not going to overreact to this, and that's I guess the biggest thing is they just they don't look like the team that we all thought they would be. And I, you know, I kind of recall this happening with the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
The first like 45 to 50 games of their, you know, super team, whatever you want to call it, they just didn't. I don't know if they responded, you know, worse to all the pressure, or if it was just something surrounding the team that made it seem like they were playing just nonchalantly. I don't know. Steph Curry, I've never seen Steph Curry give up the ball like he did yesterday in the last like 3 or 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. He made two really terrible decisions. One was basically they had like 21 seconds on the shot clock and they're up by, I think it was 6 or 8, and he decided to just chuck up honestly, an ill-advised three-pointer that shouldn't have been taken. And we've known Steph to do this before, but in this sort of circumstance, he would have thought that he would have made a smarter play, and he decided to just chuck it up. He missed, and it gave New Orleans life. And then I think he made just a bad pass or a bad decision, turned the ball over, and kept New Orleans in the game way longer than they should have been. Yeah. And it's just, you don't see that from Steph Curry, like, ever. That's not, you know, you see maybe one or two mistakes here or there in a game, but late game situations, he's been pretty flawless. Obviously, in the playoffs against Cleveland last year, he had some struggles as well, but we kind of related that to his injury, right? So I just think that there's, I don't know, I think there's more question marks about Golden State coming in than I think anybody had assumed, based on the fact that they only added one piece, not two pieces like Miami did a few years back. And the fact that we all thought they were very confident coming in, the pressure wasn't going to get to them. You look at this lineup, you look at this roster, and you just can't really question what they did this offseason. Maybe there's a lack of depth, sure, but like you have four of the top 25 players in the NBA, two of the top three players in the NBA, and this is nowhere near what we've seen or what we've expected, I guess, from this team.
Yeah. Go ahead, Adam.
Well, I wonder if one of their first two games hadn't been against the Spurs, and we do need to talk about the Spurs.
We do.
how we talk about them, because, I mean, I agree. There is an adjustment process to the entire way the offense is structured now that they're just going to have to go through. And I think Miami's a perfect corollary. They started out 9-8. That first year, and then they went to the finals. But everybody was enjoying LeBron and Wade not clicking early on, and I think a whole lot of people wanted it not to work. So it's really early, and they ran into an absolute buzzsaw in game one. But you're right, this is not up to the level of the standards Golden State set over the last two seasons, and it's not like they're worse off talent-wise, but it's just they're going to have to run their team differently because they can't run teams off the court for 48 straight minutes the way they used to.
You know, one of their big assets, especially the last two seasons, was depth. You know, they had such great guys coming off the bench. They could stagger their talent, and they could come at you so many different ways figure out or configure their lineup in, you know, any number of different ways to attack the weakness that you had on the court. And now it's a little different. And I think that they can still figure out a way to do that, but they don't have, you know, that that eighth guy, that ninth guy, that tenth guy, we're like, oh my god, it just doesn't end. So that's gonna have to be different, and maybe that means, you know, only having two of those four top 25 guys on the court at any given time. That's sort of part of the process that they've got to figure out. Also, not for nothing, but I think they miss Luke Walton a little bit. You can't just lose NBA head coaching quality guys off your bench and not suffer a little bit for it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if the Spurs end up losing Becky Hammon, I shouldn't say guys. It's historically always been guys. But, you know, if somebody else gets the bright idea to hire Becky Hammon before Popovich retires, the Spurs will be worse off for that, too. So, you know, there's a whole lot of flux that the Warriors are going through, but they'll probably be all right. I don't think we're going to be talking about them this same way come even February. Yeah. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not at all.
Luke Walton had the team off to a 39-4 start last year. Mm-hmm. You can't discount that, even though, yeah, Steve Kerr was in his ear, but he's the one out there on the sidelines talking to them, communicating with them. So,
managing,
you know,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You cannot discount that. I like Joel Embiid's first basket, actually. It was a turnaround jumper.
Mm,
so that was really cool.
Choice, man. That was so nice.
Yeah. You mentioned San Antonio. Kawhi Leonard's so scary. Like, he's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he handled Ben McLemore against Sacramento the other game. And he's had back-to-back 30-point games and when he's not known to be an offensive juggernaut. But now, look at him having back-to-back 30-point games, and he only had, like, four of those last year. Like, that is frightening. Also, the Lakers are fun this year, right? Like, they're not stressed anymore, because they look entirely worried whenever they're being coached by Byron Scott, right? And look at them now playing free, playing loose, no Kobe to hold them back anymore. They just look happy out there. It's kind of nice. So, you know, I like watching the Lakers at this moment. What about Russell Westbrook, guys? 51-13-10 last night.
Yeah, I'm not a. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to watch. He's got the competitive nature of like a Kobe Bryant or a Michael Jordan, which he's been compared to a million times. And you know, you love to see that on the basketball court. My only, you know, kind of issue with it is just how inefficient he has his usage rate. I think Fred Katz was the guy who tweeted this out. His usage rate was higher than his true shooting percentage, I think. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's great. Like, they're barely inching by teams that are supposed to be in the lottery or close to the lottery. I'm not going to give myself too much credit, but I think that the Oklahoma City Thunder were much more overrated at the beginning of this season or preseason than people were kind of giving it credit for, and they're just not. I just don't think they have enough talent around them. Russell Westbrook is not an efficient scorer. He can score at will. He can take you to the lane. He can dunk. You know, he makes all the plays. You know, but his defense, he gambles a lot, and then on offense, he takes ill-advised shots just like a Curry would, but he's just not as efficient with the shots. So it really is quite scary if you're, on that team. And they just don't have enough shooters around a guy like Russell Westbrook to make it happen. I think losing Kevin Durant is a huge loss for that team. Way more than people give him credit for. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Russell Westbrook, he's going to put up godly numbers. I think we all knew that. But I don't think the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be in contention to where he could get an MVP kind of crown.
I don't think anyone's saying they're going to win like 55 games this year. but my counter to that is that, while Westbrook has a high usage rate, like, would you rather have other guys shoot like Andre Robertson?
Yeah, no.
They don't really have anyone else.
Yeah, I get it.
That sort of worked in the playoffs, though, a little bit. I mean, yeah. Robertson, you don't want him taking 20 shots, but if you know, if the defense leaves him open, they trusted him with some pretty high leverage shots, and he came through more often than not. I mean, he wasn't the glaring liability that people sort of figured he would be. Let's say 12 months ago.
And he made a big bucket last night against the Phoenix Suns, a three-pointer late in the game. I think it was to tie things up, if I'm not mistaken. But it was late in the game, and they trusted him to make that basket. And, you know, yeah, it's a combination. Like, he shouldn't have that high of a usage percentage, but at the same token, like, who else is going to make these baskets? You know, there's not many players on this team that can hit outside jump shots, especially if they're contested. So Russell Westbrook is going to have to try and get double teams and find the open guy. And that's, you know, Harden does a pretty good job of that now. He's looked a lot better.
Yeah, my
giving
goodness,
the ball away.
Harden. With the dimes all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He is a point guard now on that team.
Yeah, and it looks good. It looks like something that works.
Yeah, and it's a perfect system because he's playing under Mike D'Antoni now.
Oh, it's incredible to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Anthony Davis, guys, averaging, as of right now, 47.5 points a game and 16.5 boards. Yeah, two games. But still, like, even after two games, that's a hell of a start, right?
I think that is completely sustainable.
It might have to if they want to win 50 games or something, because, geez, like...
Oh, man.
I mean, not that his teammates are awful, but they're just not used to being in that role where they're the second or third guy.
They are not good, man.
Tim Frazier stepped up last night with 21, 6, and 10 at least, but still, he's not used to that high usage rate, right? So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know about the Pelicans. I was the... outlier, I guess you could say, in these playoff predictions and stuff. I put the Pelicans at number 8 in the Western Conference. I picked them to make the playoffs. Somehow I got convinced. And, it's not looking too good so far, but they did play the Warriors. They did, you know, they played the, okay, well, yeah. Ooh, that doesn't help my cause anymore, but, Anthony Davis looks good. Yeah, no, he definitely does. And I think that, you know, when they get Drew Holiday back, they should be a better team. It's just, right now they're dealing with having guys, like you said, Tim Frazier, Etuan Moore, Buddy Hield even, playing way more minutes than they should be. And that seems to be a problem.
This is Jamie Nagio, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. I think the prison owner fixed it up. I never knew we ever went without. The second floor is hard for sneaking up. And this is where I went to school. Most of the time I'd better face to do. Criminal record says I've broken twice. I must have done it half a dozen times. I wonder if it's too late. Should I go back and try to graduate? Life's better now than it was back then. If I was them, I wouldn't let me in.
Hey guys, it's Pamela Horton, Miss October 2012, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. See you then.
Have we seen this kind of start where all these guys are just, like, having monster stat lines like this? Like, it's ridiculous.
I think it's just the NBA just so top-heavy. I really do. I mean, it's just, look, Russell Westbrook doesn't have anybody else around him. Anthony Davis doesn't. And had Anthony Davis been healthy last year, I think we would have seen some of these godly numbers that he's putting up. Same with Russell Westbrook. I mean, when he's on the court without a Kevin Durant, He's going to put up these numbers, whether or not it's efficient. That's kind of the only thing that,
that's always been kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's always been kind of a thing. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, James Harden, too, same thing. I think him moving to point guard is going to give him a lot more assists. He may not get as many points per game, but he's going to have, you know, I think he's averaging double-digit assists right now. And, you know, he'll be good in that Houston offense. I just think there's, you know, more top-heavy teams. It's crazy, but, you know, there's one guy on a lot of these teams. And when you only have one scorer or one primary ball handler that's going to go to the rack and get you points or get and ones or get fouls, you know, it's hard not to keep him off the stat sheet.
Yeah, a lot of teams only have one star, and then you have the Warriors and the Cavs. It's so unfair right now, guys. So, what do you think of Chicago? They made a bunch of threes in their game, in the first game.
Oh, man. I mean, I guess Adam can take this one a little bit, but I don't know if this is going to be sustainable. I really just
I don't think it is either.
Yeah,
like,
that's exactly what I was going to say too. Like, if that's the game plan, buckle up, because it's going to get worse than that. But you know, Wade's been sort of trying to add that to his game, and it's probably extremely necessary if he wants to keep playing in the league, just for the sake of his staying intact for 82 games or even 70 games. At some point, he needs to just be able to stand still, put up a shot, hope it goes in. And then that's his role in the offense rather than busting his knees. That's what I meant, knees, to get to the rack 15 times a game. But, you know, We sort of saw the same thing from Paul Pierce, where his game evolved into I'm going to make this 15-footer. Well, no, okay, now I'm going to make this 20-footer, and the 20-footer's my shot. You know, the rim's not going to be my primary go-to anymore. So it's part of getting old in the NBA.
Outside of the Warriors and the Cavs, do you guys have a dark horse for the title?
The Clippers.
Clippers?
Yeah, I would go with the Clippers. I'm pretty solid on what they've done so far. DeAndre Jordan seems to be better. Blake Griffin, when healthy, is one of the best in the league at the power forward position, if not the best.
Mm-hmm.
He's added some range to his game, and you can tell. That team is going to be hard to beat if they're healthy. I think we've been saying this for probably 3 or 4 years now, but this is do or die for Doc Rivers and this team. And, you know, look, they have a big three. People have put them in the category of, you know, overrated for year after year. There comes a point where teams have to blow things up if they can't get past a certain point. And I think this year is that year. Like, they have to get to the Western Conference Finals or else it's not a successful season for them. And if that's the case, then I think you see major changes in L.A., and I don't think anybody wants that in L.A. And for that reason, I just think that they're going to be playing at a much higher level. I think they can win close to 60 games this year. I really do. And so I think if there's any team that can give other teams fits in the playoffs, I think this Clippers team could be that team just based on, you know, the depth that they have, because we talk about depth in the playoffs. You definitely need it. You need guys to come in and you know, hold down the second unit, and against a team like the Warriors, I think they could be much better as a second unit than against, obviously, the Warriors starters. And so, for me, that seems to be the team. You know, the other team that people overlooked this offseason was the Spurs. We talked about it earlier. But Greg Popovich, whenever he is overlooked, whenever the team is overlooked, whenever they think that they're not going to, you know, be as good, somehow he seems to pull a rabbit out of the hat and make things happen that probably shouldn't happen. He reinvigorates guys' careers that shouldn't be reinvigorated. he just makes things happen that people just don't really respect, or I don't think they still don't after, you know, 18 years or whatever. It boggles my mind, but, you know, that was my coach of the year pick was Greg Popovich. So, I just think that team with Kawhi Leonard growing into his own, All the LaMarcus Aldridge trade rumors, that kind of plays, I think, into San Antonio's hands, in the sense of, like, you know, beating the critics or answering to them or whatever you want to call it. I think Patty Mills looks good, too. So that's going to be a good team.
Yeah, still a new chapter, though, because this is their first time without Tim Duncan in, like, what, 20 years or something like that?
So, yeah.
Yeah, basically. So, Adam, I guess you're going to pick the Spurs for your dark horse, right?
I mean, we did just watch them absolutely dismantle the Warriors, right?
Right.
That did just happen. and it didn't really even look like all that much of a fluke. I mean, obviously, I don't think we can count on Jonathan Simmons to run away with an All-Star nod just yet. But that team looks so well put together. Kawhi Leonard is a monster. Popovich is, you know, I think an obvious pick for Coach of the Year thus far. They've got a lot going for them. They still play so smart. And really rarely beat themselves, especially in the playoffs. And I think a lot of guys on that team are going to be hungry after the way last season ended, which was entirely too early. Everyone had been waiting for that Warriors-Spurs series, and we never got it, which means we still don't know that the Warriors can beat the Spurs in the playoffs. And, yeah, they're missing Tim Duncan, but at the same time, they executed one of the all-time best transitions for getting an aging superstar out of their team. They transitioned Duncan out of the minutes rotation, slowly but surely, out of the offensive rotation, slowly but surely, and then they brought in Pau Gasol, who can play a pretty similar role and is another guy where you're not going to be like, okay, now go out there and play 40 minutes. Like, that's not going to be his game either. And then you've got Aldridge in there. You've got Kawhi going supernova. Patty Mills does look good. Tony Parker in limited minutes. You know, there's another transition that's going on.
Yeah.
Manu in limited minutes. There's another transition that's going on. They know what they can get out of these guys, and they don't ask for more than that. And that is such a smart move, especially when you are gearing up for the seasons that last longer than 82 games. And it's something that perhaps the staff and front office in Chicago might want to be aware of, because it seems like a totally foreign concept in the Windy City. But, yeah, I think the Spurs are going to be more of a force, not only in the regular season, but in the playoffs than anybody's really expecting. I love Tim Duncan, and he is a top 10 player ever. But him, you know, the 40-year-old or 39-year-old or however old he was, that Tim Duncan coming off the Spurs is going to affect them less than people imagined. And let's be clear, that was a 67-win Spurs team last year.
Yeah.
They were so good.
But yeah.
And most of those parts are back. They're going to miss Bobo. God bless Bobo. They're going to miss Boban. God bless Boban. And, you know, they are going to miss Duncan, for sure. But getting Powell in there is going to help things. And you know, if Jonathan Simmons, for God's sakes, I mean, maybe he makes up for losing Diao all by himself. Who's to say no, right? Are you going to tell me for absolutely certain that Simmons can't make up for that? Are you going to bet against the Spurs on that? Because I'm not.
No.
Yeah. I mean, come on. They got Robinson. They were Robinson in 1987, and Tim Duncan 1997, and then they got their franchise player in the mid first round by trading George Hill.
Yeah,
they traded George Hill.
People thought was crazy at the time.
Uh-huh. Right.
By the way, like they really thought the Spurs were just like purposely tanking. Like, what are they doing? Like, what's going on?
No, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Like people, it's actually hilarious because this is one thing why I really love Twitter. You can go back and see what people said about certain things way back. There are so, just type in George Hill, and Kawhi Leonard trade and just go back to when that trade happened. And there are so many people that just ripped Greg Popovich a new one for that, and mm-hmm. the staff and the Spurs and all the rest of it. And
well, this guy can't play offense.
I know. There's
he can't shoot. He can't shoot. Yeah.
Yep. So
and now look at him doing Kobe pull up jumpers now.
There you go.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
They made him into a superstar. Yeah. And then by the way, we don't even think about this too, but the bench and Tony Parker and Manu being in a in a bench role or a rotational role is going to help this team so much against these second units. Like, the second units of most NBA teams don't have the prior knowledge or experience of the starting lineups. And so what Manu and Tony Parker are going to be able to do is use their experience, use their smarts, use their IQ to just literally obliterate some of these second units. And I just think that is, I mean, Pop is a wizard at a lot of this stuff, but that's a really, really good move in my mind.
Yep. Yeah. Agree completely.
At least out of this whole trade for the Pacers, they got Jeff Teague, I guess. That's good enough, I suppose.
They lost the Nets, too, so.
They did trade George Hill recently in a three-way deal, and they got Jeff Teague out of it. So, yay, I guess.
They should have traded him back for Kawhi Leonard, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I do have the Clippers as my dark horse as well. I just think this is their year. Hopefully Chris Paul and Blake Griffin can stay healthy. They were both injured in the playoffs against the Blazers last season. So we're still waiting, though. They haven't gone past the second round, and they probably should have 2 years ago against the Rockets when, the Clippers blew a 3-1 lead. Never mind. Anyway, that's it for now. First week of the NBA season. Oliver, go ahead and publicize your work on the internet, your social media, all that jazz.
Yeah, so you can find me at Basketball Insiders just under the About Us or staff page or whatever it is that we have up there that you can find my work at. And you can also just find all the stuff. I usually tweet it out quite a few times on Twitter, at @OMaroneNBA. And you can follow me there, and happy to chat with anyone or argue with anyone if that needs to be the calling. So I usually respond to everyone. So that's usually the place you can find me most is on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Are giving it stressful. Adam, go ahead.
I am, as always, on Twitter at POTUS. also at VP and at CIA. No, as always, Adam_ is vitally important.
Very
Kobe, important. It's like Jacob with an I at the end. And let's talk all the sports, but especially football and NBA. Good ones. And let's have some fun.
You wanna go ahead and close it out, Adam?
And as always, mm-hmm. as we begin this NBA season into the great unknown, there's no need to be bugging. If it's a Ninja Turtle, you're hugging.
Thanks for wasting my time, guys. Good night. Game over,
yeah! #BlameRayRay.
Motored.